SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The Prince, the Plus, the Hustlers, the People, the Boss, somebody, everybody else in between. We're throwing it out on SiriusXM Channel 159. Let's do this thing. We're going to go to the NBA draft in a couple of moments. A story we didn't get to. And we'll ask Matthias about this because, I knew there was an investigation going on. But this is pure insanity, man. This is nuts. So 8 doctors and nurses are to be tried for homicide in Argentina for Diego Maradona's death. That's charging McDonald's for Chris Farley's death. How do you Diego Maradona, bro, this guy partied pretty hard, man. This guy did a lot of coke and stuff. He partied very hard, and you saw he was the Goodyear blimp, bro. So is Maradona, he's not much of a god there. They're just going to throw everyone in jail that happened to be in the room when he died, bro. This is crazy. They can get 8 to 25 years for this in Argentina. 8 people who took care of soccer legend Diego Maradona will be tried in Argentina courts for homicide, according to a ruling released. The ruling states the 8 people, including doctors and nurses and a psychologist who cared for Maradona at the time of his death, are accused of a simple homicide, which is a serious charge, that they acted in an inappropriate, deficient, and reckless manner. Matias, I know you love Maradona here, bro, but charging the doctors because this guy died, isn't this a little insane? And the nurses?
Yeah, Gabe, they do insane things in Argentina. He's considered a god. So there's going to be people that are going to be going after these doctors because at 60, their opinion is that's too young. And there's no way a god can die at 60. Because you know that Maradona is god to many of those people.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the testimony, they're not going to be too public. They're going to say, guys, the guy did an 8-ball of blow for breakfast. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, man. Go watch Go watch any of Maradona.
No, it's like blaming the doctors for Lemmy a Motorhead dying. He was 70 and he did coke and he drank Jack Daniels for the last 60 years. You guys know this, right?
He was raging at the disco when disco was popping. So you know that in Argentina, their disco, and Maradona was doing it down there.
I know that he cleaned up a little bit near the end a bit, but the damage was already done. You know what I mean? You saw the guy. This is insanity, man. Like I said, I think it's the best way. It's like charging the nurse at the hospital that Lemmy a Motorhead died in because she happened to be the poor nurse that was on duty when this dude rolled in after 74 years of doing blow, acid, speed, and drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels before and after every show. But she actually did.
I was recently watching Argentina highlight videos from 2018 in Russia. And how many times did we see Maradona in the stands? He looked like he was lit at every single Argentina game, flicking off the Nigerians.
Oh, yeah. There were a couple of years, bro, where he was just like a big soccer ball. He was all wasted up there in the luxury suites all the time. You could see the powder on his nose almost. He just looked railed up. Hey, God bless him. It's like George Best stated. George Best said, hit on the other side. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, but everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. So we know that the Colorado Avalanche are one win away from the Stanley Cup Finals. That goes down on Friday night. But we got the NBA draft going down in less than 24 hours. We're going to break it down. Now, listen, we shared some of the picks that we put in last night, and we put in a couple of more. We're going to bring in Ricky O'Donnell. Did a great job over at SB Nation breaking down the draft. He's got very in-depth detail. Like I said, there's not a lot of great draft coverage out there, but Ricky did a great job, so we're going to bring him in. We're going to see what he has to say about this draft. And I got to tell you, man, the numbers for the first overall pick in this draft have gone up and down like a toilet seat at a Polish wedding. Credit Steve Ludzik, the great Steve Ludzik, former coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, ironically enough. I used to work on TV with Steve Ludzik. He was the coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He played for the Chicago Blackhawks. One of these dudes that has like the best one-liners, and that's his line. So I give him credit for it. Love you, coach. We give him credit for it. I asked him about, we were talking about a goalie once, and he said, Gabe, this guy goes up and down like a toilet seat at a Polish wedding. Then he goes, I'm married to my, he goes, my wife is Polish. So he goes, let me tell you, it's true. It's true. If you don't get the joke, then I can't help you. But yeah, Steve Ludzik, man, we miss doing the shows with Steve Ludzik. He was a lot of fun to bang with. But as far as, man, this draft, man, it's absolute insanity. All right, it's absolute insanity. And let's check in with the market right now. Like, I'm blown away. I'm looking right here. I'm like, no, this isn't true. I'm like, this isn't true. I'm like, is this for the third pick? Right now, FanDuel, Paolo Banchero is -135. What? Let me hear it refresh. What's going on? Is Putin playing with my computer? What's going on here? Is that you, Kim Jong? The late night anger management class. This is Sportsrage. The hell's going on? Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football.
Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. All hell is breaking loose in the late night hours. We've been talking with everybody. It's getting nuts. All right? It's getting nuts. It's all over the place. Like, the odds makers, they don't know. No one knows. We're in one of these deals right now where nobody in the media knows. Nobody. I don't think the teams know right now. I don't think any of these teams are, like, fully locked in on anybody. I'm dead serious. I think they sort of have, you know, this guy or that guy type of deal. But I think they're going to be like, wow. Like, you know, there's going to be a wow moment. Yet, I don't see it. I don't care about these odds moving and stuff. I still stand by. Listen, I hope it's Chet Holmgren first overall because I got him at +330 to be there at 320 to be top pick. I don't think it is. But is it? Is he? You know what I mean? Like, or I don't know. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm telling you this. I don't care about the odds makers and their stupid little Banchero moves and all this type of stuff. I'm telling you right now. I always thought that Oklahoma City was a good fit for Chet Holmgren, but that Orlando was going to take him, right? He played with Jalen Suggs in high school. He was coached by Jalen Suggs' father. They both went to Gonzaga. You know, we talked about the, you know, pairing him with what they have already on that team, and it's a good fit. Yet there was, you know, and I don't know, right? There was internal stuff. There was talk about how basically Chet doesn't want to go to Orlando, that he, not that he wouldn't go there, but that basically, you know, he didn't share his medical with them, but he did with the Thunder type of deal. You know what I mean? Like, he basically sent the message, I'd prefer to go to the Oklahoma City Thunder second overall, but, you know, nobody doesn't want to be the top pick of the draft either at the same point in time. So I'm just telling you guys, I'm saying right now, Matthias, I would not be shocked if it was Chet Holmgren, who was the first pick still. And I know right now everybody's giving up on that, and dear God, he's up to 9-1 right now, bro. Nobody knows. That's crazy talk. It would not shock me if he was the pick tomorrow. It wouldn't shock me. I think it's going to be Jabari Smith, though, but I wouldn't shock me if it was Chet.
I think it's Jabari Smith, too, only because I think it's a safer pick. I'm not sold on Holmgren. When we describe, you know, what the kid brings to the table, his height, his shooting ability, you know, the things that he might, you know, how great could this kid be in a couple years once he fits into his body and pretty much burns all the baby fat that he has still, because he still looks like a little kid. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, he has a lot of potential. But at the end of the day, it's a gamble. And I think that at this time, the Magic, they can't wait another 5 years to win. You know, they got to get something going right now, and they have the right energy. I think coming off of this last season, they weren't very good, but they played.
Well, I think that's why Jabari Smith could be the guy. You're right, because he's ready to play right now. He's big. He's a big body. He's physically can handle the rigor of the end. Because I think that's the thing. Like, because Chet is really good. He's got that. He's perfect for Oklahoma City, who are rebuilding, right? But even Chris Monter, who knows Chet personally, brought it up the other day. The body that he has right now, and don't judge it, guys. He's going to get bigger. Look at Tom Brady's picture from the combine, right? You know what I'm saying? So you don't judge the kid now. But at the same point in time, Matias, Chet Holmgren's body could not last 82 games of NBA basketball right now. And it is a good point as far as the Orlando Magic. They've been crap forever. They can't tell their fan base, yeah, we got the top pick, and don't worry, he might be a star in 3 or 4 years, right? So they've got to come out hot here. And you can plug in. It's not bad. You got Jabari Smith with Wagner and you know, listen, they got a lot of talent. They got Markelle Fultz
from North Carolina that they just got. Cole Anthony. He's bringing a lot of energy to that.
Cole Anthony.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing with it. They got the guards. You got Suggs. You got Anthony. All right. You got Wagner. All right. They had, Isaac is always hurt. They can't count on him anymore. The kid out of Florida State. Wendell Carter, not Wendell Carter Jr. What's the other kid? I like Wendell Carter Jr., actually.
And they have Mo Bamba.
Yeah, Mo Bamba's going, though. Who's the kid from? Was it a Duke kid? Let me get their depth chart up anyways.
Yeah, you're right. They do have Wendell Carter Jr., too, who's also a good player and who gets a lot of boards. It's a good rebound.
Well, no, Wendell Carter's good, bro. Like, he's better than people realize, this kid. Like, so that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, Wendell Carter Jr., exactly. Jonathan Isaac, you can't trust. This kid has been too many years, bro. He's like Kawhi without the success. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Sorry.
He's an athletic guard who can't stay on the court. Or a small forward.
Whatever it is. But no, he's good. He's good. He's one of those Florida State guys. He's really athletic and stuff, but he's always hurt. Or he's sick. He's hurt. Or his personal issue. Or he didn't want to get vaxxed. Remember, he was against the protests. He was the only one. He was like the only brother that didn't, like, too. He didn't do the BLM out. Like, you know what I mean? He's a weird dude. So, like I said, you can't trust this guy. But, yeah, Cole Anthony is good. Jalen Suggs is going to be really good. Franz Wagner's a badass. Wendell Carter is really good. Markelle Fultz has taken a little while, but he's starting to develop a little bit. So, I get it. I get throwing Jabari in here, making you more competitive right now, and I think it's going to happen. Now, the media, or I don't care about the media, the odds makers getting all crazy for Paolo Banchero. I mean, we're seeing right now different places, it's popping up all over the place. Like, this is literally late breaking news now. Like, FanDuel's got him at minus 160 right now. All right, so minus 160, yet he's plus 115 to be the third overall pick, which he's going to be. I don't care about these moves. And now we get value. This is a late shuffling market, man. Wow. And you want to talk about a late shuffling market? Ben Mathurin, our boy Ben from Montreal, Ben Mathurin. 6.5. It's up to 5-1. Right now. It's up to 5-1. No, 420. A nice smooth 420. It's a 420 at under 6.5. Under 6.5. Ben Mathurin -420. You got to be kidding me.
I love that. I love Mathurin after under 6.5 right now. It wouldn't surprise me if the Kings take him, Gabe. Everybody's saying Ivy to the Kings. I think so as well. But I could just see Mathurin in that Sacramento Kings uniform.
I don't think it happens. And in fact, I stand by Ben Mathurin going to the Portland Trailblazers at 7.
Even after Jeremy Grant trade today? When I saw Jeremy Grant get traded to Portland today, I kind of thought...
That opens things up for Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray is going to be the Pistons pick. That's my prediction. Fifth pick, Keegan Murray. To go along with Cade Cunningham. Ben Mathurin and Cade Cunningham aren't a good pairing, I don't think. You know what I mean? I don't know. Ben is one of these dudes where, honestly, Matias, the whole deal with me with Ben is, from a betting, you know how I feel about it. Obviously, we had Pete, you know, and we love the kid. But, like, the thing is with Ben is, I don't think he's going to Sacramento 4th. I don't think he's going to Detroit 5. So then you lead yourself into, it's got to be the Pacers. And I tell you what, the Pacers make a lot of sense, right? And I think Ben Mathurin is the type of dude that needs to run the team. Like, he needs to be sort of the guy, and the Pacers, he could be, like, along with Halliburton, but he could be that guy, that score guy, or ideally as well with Damian Lillard, where he could learn and be this McCollum and still score some points and really, you know what I mean? I think from a career perspective, Ben Mathurin would be better off falling in the draft to Portland at 7 or specifically New Orleans at 8, who I think would take him as well. I already told people under 6.5, I got the bet in. I'm not turning back. Do I love it? No. I'm very concerned. I think that Mathurin's going to go 6 to the Pacers. But the thing is, you talk about Sacramento, Matias. The guy is Shaedon Sharpe, bro. Shaedon Sharpe is the kid that could go 4. The Pistons might surprise everybody and take this kid, and the Pacers might take this kid. I think he could go ahead of Ben Mathurin, as crazy as this sounds. We'll see what Ricky says next. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late night anchor mantra class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci, breaking it down on SiriusXM channel 159. I'm out here 1090 ESPN Radio. We're now less than 24 hours away from the NBA draft, an unpredictable draft, a lot of uncertainty. Let's bring in Ricky O'Donnell right now from SB Nation to break it down. Ricky, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So, Ricky, tons of uncertainty, man. I've been following and betting on the draft for a long time, and I got to tell you, I've sort of lowered my unit size coming in to this draft, but it's going to be a lot of fun to watch to see how it plays out just because of the unpredictability factor of all this. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised. Like, there's no real consensus mock drafts out there right now. I'm just expecting a lot of surprises. What's your take on this thing right now?
Absolutely. I think the Orlando Magic are going to have 4 really good options when they come on the clock with the number 1 overall pick. The front runner to this point has been Auburn forward Jabari Smith, 6'10", absolute sniper from behind the 3-point line. Might already be one of the best tall shooters in basketball. I have some questions about Jabari, though, in terms of what he can do inside the arc. Not really a great ball handler, struggled to finish at the rim. That's a little concerning for a 6'10 guy. My number 1 overall player in this class is Duke forward Paolo Banchero. Again, 6'10", 250, more of a ball handler, a playmaker, took the Blue Devils to the Final 4, obviously. I think he has the highest upside in the draft, but honestly, I expect Jabari Smith Jr. to go number 1 overall to the Magic. I expect Chet Holmgren to go number 2 to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I think Paolo Banchero comes off the board at number 3 to the Houston Rockets.
I agree with you, and it's funny because I like Banchero a lot, too. I think he's going to be a solid NBA player, and I've said about this draft that it's sort of, I don't mind if I was going 4 or 5 or 6 or et cetera this year. It's almost like a fantasy football draft. All right, let my buddy screw things up at the top first, and then I'll get a better player later, because I think that there are so many potential star players on the board here. So let's get into 4. We've heard that Jaden Ivey isn't enamored with Sacramento, but hey, who is really? So I do think that he does go 4, Jaden Ivey. So then we get to 5 and the Detroit Pistons that could go in a lot of different ways, but I've started to settle in that Keegan Murray would be a perfect fit with Cade Cunningham. Are you buying or selling Keegan Murray 5 to Detroit?
I think it's likely to happen, for sure. Now, should it happen? Not in my opinion. I don't think Keegan Murray is quite as much upside as some of the other players in this class. He's going to have a very good long NBA career. There's no doubt about that. Keegan Murray, 6'8", 220 pounds, can shoot the three-pointer with range. I just worry that he's not a great athlete in terms of his run and jump ability. I wonder how dynamic he is off the dribble as well. So Keegan Murray, not my favorite player. If I was the Detroit Pistons, I would take Memphis freshman center Jalen Duren, a powerful athlete, 6'9", 250 pounds, 7'5 wingspan. Just can dunk the hell out of the ball, plays with so much raw force around the rim. So I really like Jalen Duren. I think he can be a value pick in this draft. He might even flip out of the top 10. But in terms of what's going to happen, you know, from a betting perspective or just from a projection perspective, coming into draft night, I think Keegan Murray, number 5 to Detroit, that's a pretty safe bet. It's either going to be him or Ben Mathurin, and I think that Murray's the better prospect of the two.
I like the way you're thinking, and I tell people this all the time. It's not what we think. It's not what, you know, who we think is the best player. When we're betting this stuff and predicting this stuff, we have to think, all right, what is the team going to do? And I liked your breakdown as far as Murray. I like Murray a lot, but I liked the lack of athleticism take a little bit here. I get that. And, you know, Big Ten, people can praise the Big Ten all they want, and I'm a Big Ten guy, but the NBA is not the Big Ten. It's a much more athletic league than the Big Ten is, with a different style of basketball as well. You mentioned Ben Mathurin. I'm a big fan of Ben Mathurin. We have a regular guest that's close to him, that's known him since he was a kid, so we have some insight. We know that he worked out in the 5-6-7 range, so he worked out for the Pistons, and all everything went well with these three teams. So basically, Camp Mathurin believes it's one of these three teams. I am sort of starting to believe that it could be the Pacers, but the Pacers, you know as well as I do, Ricky, the Pacers, you know, you never really know what they're going to do. So, and I like Mathurin a lot, but just quickly as far as Detroit too, let me throw Shaedon Sharpe at you. Wouldn't, you know, you talked about Murray, I get it, they see that fit, but wouldn't a pure scorer like Sharpe in Detroit, you know, they're still building something. I don't know if it's a little too high for Shaedon to go 5, but I thought that he's intriguing with Detroit to pair with Cade Cunningham.
The crazy thing about Shaedon Sharpe is his status as a top 5 pick or top 10 pick is basically based off 12 games in the Nike EYBL league, which is the Nike AAU league. He led the league in scoring in those 12 games. He has the frame that you want out of a shooting guard, 6'6", 7-foot wingspan. The guy legitimately has Vince Carter-level athleticism. He can jump out of the gym, and I think he's going to be a very good shooter. But given the lack of tape, it's hard to make too many conclusions about the rest of his game. How often does he settle for bad shots? How impactful can he be as a defender? Where is he as a passer? These are major questions that NBA teams are not able to answer because Shaedon Sharpe decided not to play basketball at Kentucky this year after enrolling midseason. I think that was a very smart decision from Shaedon Sharpe's camp to try to shield him a little bit. They knew that his package of skills and athleticism was enough for him to be taken as sort of a blind selection in the top 10 of the NBA draft. Teams aren't going to like it because he is, without question, the riskiest pick. But the thing about Shaedon Sharpe, he's so talented that it's just as risky to pass on him.
Exactly.
I don't know if he goes as high as number 5, but I like him potentially as high as number 7 to the Portland Trail Blazers when they come on the clock.
Well, I'd like to hear that because that's the bet I made. I bet under 7.5, thinking somebody's going to take a shot and think, man, I can't leave instant 25 points. A future, like, just pure score. Look, if Jalen Green came into the league and just lit it up and was able to score, I think Shaedon will as well. You mentioned he's, you know, the Nike eyeball stuff and some, you know, some international play, you know, is basically all what they have to work on. But hey, man, guys have been drafted out of college. Kyrie Irving played 6 games at Duke, right? 7 games or whatever the hell, you know. We've seen this before. Ben Mathurin is a player that I find fascinating. We've talked a lot about him on the program. It seems, you know, that he is going to go in the 5 or the 6 spot. And I've kind of talked myself right now, Ricky, into the Indiana Pacers taking Ben Mathurin. And I tell you what, I think he'd be a great fit along with Halliburton there. And I'm a big Mathurin fan, and I am starting to convince myself that he does go 6 to the Pacers. What's your take?
It sounds like he's going to go 5 or 6, for sure. I think NBA GMs are going to like Ben Mathurin because there's a level of safety with him. He has proven production for Arizona. He's a 2-year college player. Arizona was a number 1 seed in the NCAA tournament this year. Ben Mathurin was their leading man the entire way. Very great athleticism in a 6'5" frame for a shooting guard. Dynamic shooting ability as well. He's going to be able to stretch the floor out to 3-point range. I do wonder if Mathurin's a little bit one-dimensional as a shooter. I question his defense. How impactful is he going to be there? I I wonder, does he have the chops to actually create offense with a ball in his hands? But as someone who could play off Tyrese Halliburton in Indiana, I think he'd be a good pick. If it's me and I'm the Pacers, I want the upside swing. The Pacers are never getting a star free agent to come to Indiana. You might as well take Shaedon Sharpe or A.J. Griffin. But
yes.
Mathurin is a much safer bet than either of those two guys. If you want to try to hit a double in the draft, take Ben Mathurin. He's going to be a pretty good player. I like to go for the upside. So I do think Mathurin is going to be the fifth or sixth pick. That's what I would bet on. I'm just not quite sure if he's worth it.
You know what? I'm with you in that sense. You know, that's why I brought up Sharp to Detroit. I'm thinking, all right, guys, you've been bad for so long. You're close. You throw this kid in here, and you give it a year or two, and then you really have something. I think the Pacers are more, you know, they've got more, I think they're more frustrated. But, you know, dude, the Pacers change their mind every 3 months. They fire coaches all the time. I mean, guys are getting, you know, like Turner said, I've been getting traded for 8 years, and I'm still here, right? So, you know, you never really know what the Pacers. I think for Ben's career, career-wise, it'd be really cool if he ended up with Portland or he ended up with New Orleans. A bet that I put in as well, and I know go over to follow Ricky on Twitter. He's got a great big board as far as 60 players are ranked. I enjoyed the read, Ricky. So talking about Dieng, a kid that played for the New Zealand Breakers in the Australian League from France, and I am a late-night degenerate gambler, so I know the Australian League well, and the Breakers are actually my team. I bet him to go. I'm surprised, bro. The odds makers have him at 10.5 right now. I don't see him going in the top 11. I like this bet. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, the new mock draft published on ESPN today with some intel from NBA front offices had Ousmane Dieng going number 8 overall. I thought that was absolutely shocking to see someone like that so high. To me, he's similar to Sharp in that he's a very young, tall wing with shooting ability. Can play on the perimeter at 6'9", 6'10". That's appealing for NBA teams. But I think he needs to add so much muscle to his frame. He needs to get a lot sharper in his skills all the way across the board. He's not my favorite bet in terms of the tools, the upside type of players in this draft, but I mean, there's a chance if he hits, he could potentially be like a Paul George level guy who's a tall wing who could shoot and handle the ball. That's like the most valuable archetype of NBA player. Now, what are the chances he hits that ultimate upside? It's going to depend on, you know, how the team develops him and what his level of work ethic is, but, you know, the tools are there. He's someone who I think the Thunder at number 12 overall would be a good spot for him, given that they're not trying to win right away. They're taking a long-term patient approach. But, man, this new hype on Dieng that he could go number 8 overall, I believe that's the Pelicans. That's pretty shocking to me, and we'll see if it plays out on draft night.
All right, last player before we get you out of here. And great stuff, great breakdown, Ricky. What about Duren and Jalen? You know, it seems to me he'd be a good fit with the Spurs. The sportsbooks have him at 10.5 right now. Where do you have him going, over under 10.5?
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's like if the Spurs don't take him, I don't think he's going to go in the top 10. That's sort of like his only landing spot. In the top 10 is San Antonio at number 9.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he should be the fifth player taken in this draft. I think Jalen Duren is awesome. I think he's got the potential to be an NBA All-Star. But, you know, teams look at him and they see a shorter center who doesn't have three-point shooting ability. All of that is true, but I think just like his package of skills gives you so many more outs for a productive player than just relying on the jump shot. So, Duren, I would probably take over, I guess, just because I don't know what San Antonio is going to do. And if he doesn't go to San Antonio, I think, you know, he's probably slipping to the Thunder at 12 or to Charlotte at 13. So that's a tough one. I might not bet that one because I'm a little unsure, but I love Jalen Duren. I think he's going to have a very good career in the NBA.
Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation. Follow him on Twitter, SBN underscore Ricky. Great breakdown, Ricky. Look forward to doing it again. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
SportsGrid.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The pips, the players, the hustlers, the people who bust them, and everybody else in between. Thanks to Ricky O'Donnell. That was some good stuff with Ricky. So there's all kinds of rumors going on. We're going to get caught up to date with the numbers. This is one of the instances right now where if you're a late night degen and you're up with us in the late night hours, we appreciate you spending your time with us. But we've got like breaking betting news in the sense that the market, this is like overnight stock market in Japan. We're playing the Nippon market or something. And now it's like, and now, you know what I mean? Like when Wall Street opens in the morning, it's going to be like, what the hell just happened? Like, dude, these numbers, we were just casually talking about hockey. I was like, oh, to the NBA draft. I don't know. Like, seriously, I'm not even kidding. When I sort of looked and I like to check the tape actually, when I paused and I said the NBA draft and I looked and I saw Paolo Banchero -130. And I actually, first thing my mind, and I was talking, but I was looking at the computer, and my mind was like, no, I want to see the overall pick for who's going to be the first pick, not who's the third pick of the draft. And I had to do a double take, and it said Paul Banchero, first overall pick, -130. And I was like, what the, like, and then I said I hit refresh, and I hit refresh like 2-3 times, and then I was like, no. Then I checked another sports book, and it was an even higher number. And I believe at the time, on the tape, I said, is Putin messing with my computer? Kim Jong-un up there? Somebody hacking me? Somebody hacking me and getting me to bet these weird numbers? What the hell's going on? All right, so there's an OG and an OB rumor going on that normally they're, listen, whenever there's a rumor of the Raptors, it's not from the Raptors. They don't talk. So it's interesting. I just saw the quote was, teams believe that the right package, you could get OG from the Raptors. So you're saying, so there's reports that other teams believe, so not the Raptors believe. I do find it interesting. Bobby Webster, general manager of the Raptors. People think of Masai Ujiri, but Masai Ujiri is like the president head type guy now. He's obviously involved, but Bobby Webster runs the day-to-day operations. Bobby Webster declines to comment specifically on reports of OG being dissatisfied with his role in trade speculation. We have great communication with OG. I don't think it's all that noteworthy, he says. There are reports right now out of Portland that the Portland Trailblazers have offered the 7th pick for OG Anunoby. And obviously, there'd have to be more. I love Anunoby. I love OG. There's no way in hell Portland's offering the 7th pick for him, all right? So let's just start this off by saying this right now. OG Anunoby's a good player, but no one's giving up the 7th pick just because of the money and all this type of stuff. OG makes a lot of money, man, right? And he's going to want to make more money. He's a good player. Everybody always wants OG. OG's the type of guy you want on your team. So the thought process is that Scottie Barnes is basically a superstar waiting to happen, which is true. And you already got Siakam, right? That, you know what I mean? So you can't pay everybody, right? It's one of these deals, and Van Fleet's making real money now. And this is where it gets real, and I actually think there's a possibility that OG could be the guy that gets let. That he is part of the deal, but I don't think it's to Portland. And I'm not even sure they trade. I don't even think they trade OG. I think they're going to try to get Rudy Gobert without giving up anything, like, essentially. And it is Masai Ujiri, everybody, right? Bobby Webster's a GM, but let's be real, Masai is, you know. So I've always, Rudy Gobert and the Raptors have always been connected. Masai Ujiri likes him a lot. And the Raptors don't need his offensive game. The Raptors, the Raptors are redoing what they did when they won the title a couple of years ago. They're building the team, and they're waiting for, like, the right sort of guy to put it over the top. Rudy Gobert is not Kawhi Leonard, but the thing is, Scottie Barnes is that good. Scottie Barnes is Kawhi Leonard. Like, Scottie Barnes is that good, guys. Scottie Barnes is going to be, like, a mega superstar type thing. He's going to be, like, one of the best players in the NBA. And he's going to add his offensive repertoire. He's already a stud on defense. Like, the kid is amazing for a rookie. And, like, he's the real deal. Like, the Raptors have a very good nucleus of players,
they're lacking a star power, and they need a little bit more physicality. So Gobert comes in. Don't forget. So when they won, they had Kawhi. Kawhi ain't coming back right through the door. But Scottie Barnes and Siakam can handle this with Van Fleet. To me, the Raptors are missing two pieces to be legitimate championship contenders again. They need a shooter. They need a real shooter. Right? Like, you know, Van Fleet and Gary Trent are good. They need another guy that just sort of that can come like a Joe Harris, a guy that can come off the bench and just drill threes for them, and like he's not gonna miss. Right? Like they need instant point guy. And they need, even though the Raptors are pretty good, the Raptors cosmetically were good rebounding wise. I think they're actually like the eighth. They're ranked eighth in the NBA in rebounding. But the thing is, Pascal Siakam was their leading rebounder. And they could use some girth. Like when they won, what I'm getting at here with Gobert, like I know Gobert's not a perfect player. But the thing with Gobert is, let's remember, when the Raptors won the title, they did it. How'd they stop Giannis? Like, dude, if you're in the East, you gotta think of this. If you're in the East and you're in the Raptors position, who's your biggest nemesis now? Like, who's in your way? It's not the Brooklyn Nets in that circus, right? It's not, you know what I mean? The Boston Celtics are good, right? But your issue is, all right, if we're going to win the East, what do we got to do? We just lost to Joel Embiid. And the Raptors seem to play the Sixers every couple of years in the playoffs. And it's not going to change. They always collide. So having Rudy Gobert would help a hell of a lot dealing with Joel Embiid. Having Rudy Gobert would help a hell of a lot dealing with Giannis. When the Raptors won the title, they had Marc Gasol, who they paid a lot of money to score like 9 points a game or whatever, but he came through in the finals because of his big girth, and he hit a couple of shots, but he was defensively there along with Serge Ibaka. The only way to beat Embiid and Giannis is to really kind of attack them and beat them up, and you can't do it with one dude. Right? Like, and you need thick, big dudes that can handle it and, like, go at them. Right? And Gobert can do that. So I think, you know, I buy into this Gobert stuff. I buy into Gobert to the Raptors. The Raptors have the 33rd pick in the draft. It's not overly attractive. But one thing I'll tell you, Masai doesn't get ripped off on these deals. How's that Kyle Lowry deal looking right now? Raptors got Thad Young. They turned it into Thad Young and Achiuwa. For Kyle Lowry, who the Miami Heat are calling too fat. So that's sort of an update on that. But don't buy into this, all the 7 pick for OG stuff. And I love OG, but I'd trade OG in a heartbeat for the 7 pick just because of the situation, because of the contract stuff, right? It's all, I hate to be the business guy about it, but it's true. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like, really? Okay. We're going to get a new kid that's really good, and we don't really have to pay him anything, and you're going to be on the hook for the big money for him now. Like, put it this way. Like, look what the Raptors did. We'll get back to the draft numbers, but look what the Raptors did, Matthias. This is how smart they are. They let Norman Powell go for Gary Trent. Norman Powell was making $24 million a year, Matthias. Okay? Gary Trent was making $2 million. Gary Trent's better than Norman Powell. So they traded, like, they were like, sure, you want Norman Powell? Give us Trent. And it's like, so we got the same guy, and we got a better shooter, actually, for $2 million, and you can pay the 23. Like the Raptors are really good at that. You know what I mean? That's the one thing. Like, the Raptors will trade a player, like, out of just business, because it's like, listen, we're going to replace this guy with somebody that makes, like, you know, 10 times less the money. And then Trent did re-sign and ended up getting $18 million after with the Raptors. But it was just smart business, right? Like, the Raptors are a smart business team. But I don't want to trade OG. I love OG. I want to keep him. He's a great defensive player. He's part of the team. I want to fleece Utah. Take the 33rd pick. We'll give you Flynn, the kid from San Diego State. man, like, I don't want to trade any of these guys. I love them all. But, man, I guess if we have to, we'll give you Chris Boucher. How about no, Kem Birch. We'll give you Kem Birch, Flynn, and the 33rd pick for Gobert. You can't afford him anyways. Give him to us. All right, here's the updated numbers right now. This stuff is whacked. And we'll let Matthias jump in here and see if he's got a prediction. So holy crap, Matthias. Every time we hit refresh, bro, the numbers get higher. Paolo Banchero right now is minus 175 to be the top pick. Jabari Smith is plus 135. Chet Holmgren's all the way to 901. Watch it be Chet Holmgren. All right, so to be the second pick right now, who I think it's a lock that it's Chet Holmgren to Oklahoma City, or he goes first overall. I already got him at plus 320. Chet Holmgren is minus 140 right now to be the second pick. Jabari Smith is minus 105 to be the second pick. Paulo Banchero is now plus 185, man. That's why we can't put the bets in now. We got to let this market get crazy. Matias, I'm standing by this. Paulo Banchero still goes third. I don't care about this line movement, and now he's plus 185 to go third, but I'm not even going to click it because every time we hit refresh, Banchero to be the top pick gets higher right now, so the third pick will get higher. It's crazy talk, bro. Paulo Banchero will not be the top pick in the draft, and feel free to make this as a promo if I'm wrong. And it can rerun for a week.
I'm not falling for this smokescreen whatsoever, and I'm with you. I think Jabari Smith goes number one to the Magic. I think Chet's going to go number two to the Thunder, and I think Banchero is going number three to the Rockets. I think Ivy's going four to the Kings, and like you've been saying for the last week, Keegan Murray to the Detroit Pistons at number five. I dig it, and I'm going with it.
He's plus 120 right now to go to five, but the Pistons are the outlier here, I think. They could go Shaedon Sharpe, bro. It's in my gut telling me they could go Shaedon Sharpe here.
Sharpe either goes to the Pacers or to the Blazers.
Six or seven, huh?
Pacers take Sharpe.
That's a good call, actually.
Mathurin.
Yeah. You know what?
Or the Pacers take Mathurin, or vice versa.
You're right. Exactly. The two Canadian kids, I said it too. We talked about it exactly. I think you're right. I think if Mathurin went six, I think the Blazers would say, son of a, all right, we're taking Sharpe then, right? But I think if the Pacers took Sharpe, I think the Blazers would be where they would jump. They wouldn't even need the full minutes in between the pick. Ben Mathurin would be the pick. You put him with Simons and with Dame. Nice matchup. So Ben Mathurin right now to be the sixth pick. It's getting crazy. But to be the sixth pick, he's minus 115. But get this, to be under 6.5, he's minus 420. So the thing is, he's not going 4 or 5. So we could play Mathurin to be the sixth pick at minus 115. I thought he was going over 6.5. I already told people. I can't turn back. I think we could lose, but it's not a lock, Matias, that he goes in the top six. I'm telling you. He could go 7, Mathurin, to Portland. That's what my hope. He might even fall to 8 to the Pelicans. It might happen.
That would be nuts if he dropped.
We're not even bringing up Jalen Duren and the AJ Griffith kid. Those kids are big time too, Matias.
The Spurs, Gabe.
Me too. At 9,
Popovich needs a big guy. You know, you can't go with Poeltl again. You know,
no.
If Popovich is ever going to survive,
Poeltl's a complimentary guy, bro. He's on the Raptors. I know him. Yeah. Like, no, I agree with you. I totally agree. I think Durant. I got Duren going to 9 to the Spurs as well. And listen, there's going to be some outliers here, right? GMs think differently than the media. This is whack. I'm going to hold off, I guess. I'm going to wake up in the morning early and hit refresh again and see what the hell's up. We'll see. We will click something here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, countdown to the draft is on, so tomorrow night we'll be on after the draft. It'll be a fun time. So at least, you know, and then Friday night we got the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll be stepping up and in after the game. And then we got big weekend of football tomorrow night. We're going to get into the USFL. Got Adam Traeger's going to step up and in. We got Teddy Covers. If Teddy still returns after me and Teddy yelled at each other last week. See if me and Teddy get into it tomorrow. Love Teddy. Teddy Covers. We got Big Card Julio. We got the Big E Eric Cohen returning tomorrow, too. It's been a little while since Cohen's been on the show. So Cohen's going to step up and in. We're going to jam-pack tomorrow. Programming note for Game Time Decisions. We're on every day at 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific on the Sports Grid Radio Networks, TV Networks. We're on a million TV affiliates. And We're on SiriusXM channel 159. I do not believe Game Time Decisions, though, is on the Mightier 1090. But if you're wondering, we're on the Sports Grid Radio Networks, the YouTube page, Sports Grid, and all that. We're going to be on tomorrow. So normally we're on from 6 to 9 Eastern, 3 to 6. But tomorrow with the NBA draft, we're just on for the first 2 hours. So there's a programming note, but we'll have our final picks. By then, I don't know, man. These odds are getting crazy. I'm standing by it, though. I know, you know, all this stuff's getting whacked out. It is what it is. I got a bad number on. I only got a bad number on one of the props, actually. Well, now with Chet Holmgren being 9-1. One thing that I do like, I don't think Dieng is going to go in the top 11 picks. Dieng, the kid Dieng. Usami Dieng. He's a French kid. Everyone's going to say his name differently, but he's from France. He plays in the Australian League for the New Zealand Breakers. Very talented kid. But I don't think he goes. I bet over 10.5. And I got under 7.5 with Shaden Sharp. I got Jaden Ivey going 4th overall. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.